With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Joining me this Friday to answer Twitter questions is Colin host Josh Hart. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's a pretty nice day here in Toronto. It's been a surprisingly entertaining first round, despite half of the league superstars being like snapped out of existence. That's a real 2019 reference, but it's quiet for like every guy who's been on an NBA 2K cover in the last decade. Except for KD's, I guess Giannis too, but it's been crazy.
You know,
Adam
Silver shaking, which, by the way, all this talk of like, oh man, the league's gonna hate this or league, like, what is the point of having a league if you only ever want to see like three teams in the finals or like three players in the finals? Like, enough, it's sports.
That's true.
It happens. Okay, it's a competition. There's no guarantee to go through. And like, to be honest, for me, I mean, obviously, we are in like the 1% of diehard basketball fans. So, you know, I'm sure maybe for the casual fan, they might say, well, there's no LeBron or Steph. I'm not going to turn it on. But I mean, for me, I'm actually really excited to see like these new players come up in the sense of like, you need a generation after this current generation, right? And like, this generation was blessed. Like, let's be real. We have LeBron, we had Steph, KD is still going, obviously. These guys are all still going, but like, that's, you know, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. Like, this is like an incredible group to have come through the last like decade. In LeBron's case, the last two decades. But like, I love this, man. Look at the guys we're getting in this year's playoffs alone, right? Devin Booker stepping up. Look at what he did yesterday to just step on the hearts of the Laker fans. You know, you got Trae Young coming out and eviscerating the Knicks, right? And, you know, then you got Luka, who honestly, if the Clippers win. Sorry, if the Clippers lose tonight and they lose in the first round, I am ready to tweet out the Chet Hanks white boy summer meme on behalf of Luka.
It's back.
It's back. It's officially back if Luka wins this tonight. So I'm excited, man. The next generation is going to be good. Plus, you got Giannis in that group as well. Like,
yeah,
it's nice.
You got Shake Milton falling out of the lineup in Philadelphia in the next generation. This Philly team, I don't know. Doc Rivers doesn't have a lineup. He does not have eight guys yet. He played 11 people in the first round. I think that series goes long, and it shouldn't, because I guess not having Joel changes a lot. But looking at it, if everybody's healthy, they have no answers for Joel Embiid. And now you have to trust George Hill to like be a second ball creator with Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons. It's not going to be cute.
It's a damn shame. It's a damn shame what happened to the Sixers every single year in the playoffs. No, I mean, look, I think, you know, if Embiid's healthy, yeah, I agree with you. Like, I think they'll get past the Hawks, no problem. Without Embiid, I think they'll probably have to do a couple of things, just to adjust. I think offensively, it's going to be more of a struggle because Embiid is by far the best offensive player. And then, of course, he's also the best defensive player. I think they actually have some size to cope with what Atlanta does offensively.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that series would be going long if Embiid is not available for the entirety of it. Which, if he's not available for the entirety of it, I mean, like, damn, we're really going to get, like, a very, very strange champion this year just based off injuries alone.
What, you mean the Milwaukee Bucks?
I'm not ready for that, but, you know, if it happens.
They played so well, and they built their team, I don't want to say the right way, because the Bogdanovich thing in the summer was, like, still massively embarrassing. It was Bogdanovich, right?
Yes.
That was still massively embarrassing. But this roster works. I think they're gonna beat the Nets. Just don't really like KD. DeAndre Jordan can't be played in that series. And then can KD deal with Brook Lopez or Giannis Antetokounmpo on every possession? Either one of them. That's like it's a long day for Kevin. Shout out to Kevin. I know that he's been great on tour the last 6 months, but it's gonna be a tough time.
Yeah. No. It's I mean, that's gonna be the NBA Finals. Like, that's is that gonna be the best series the rest of the way? Nets.
It's gonna have the most good guys in it.
That's what I mean, though. Like, quality of basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's gotta be. I really do want to see what Jrue Holiday does with, like, Kyrie Irving, like, in isolation on national TV. Like, that's the thing that I've been, like, dreaming about. With when they put together this team, it's just crazy to see three elite on-ball creators, and you can't double on anybody, because if you do, you're toast. Just like watching anybody have to deal with that is amazing. It's cool to see the best guy, probably like positioned to do that job, get to do it. Like, we're gonna watch, like, they're gonna be like a 24-second segment where like Jrue Holiday finds a switch, goes from Kyrie, James Harden, and denies both for a shot clock violation, and that's gonna be the coolest shit in the whole. Like, I'm gonna watch that clip like 15,000 times on Twitter. Mm.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. But the first round has delivered, though. It's been really fun. We'll see what happens tonight. Again, listen, if Luka does this tonight, and honestly, like, the way he's playing, it's pretty incredible that he's just straight up outplaying Kawhi. Which, I mean, like, playoff Kawhi, we all know what that's like. But and he's been that good. But yeah, no, it's been an amazing run.
What do you have as the best game of the first round? You have Nuggets, Blazers game five, right?
Yeah, it has to be, just because it went double OT and what Dame was doing. The only thing I will say about that series is I didn't appreciate it enough, or I didn't enjoy it enough, because they didn't play defense. Like, it was really, I mean, every game Nurk would foul out, and then Jokic would just walk to the basket, and like they couldn't stop guys like Austin Rivers and Monty Morris. Yeah. Which, shout out to those Nuggets. For you know, grinding it out, and they're a really fun group, and you know, we've seen what they've done the last year as well. But just I need defense in the playoffs. Like, I don't need like Hawks Knicks level of defense, where that's more offensive incompetence than defense in the case of the Knicks. Facts. But like, I need some defense, and so I mean, the double overtime game is up there. I think the last Clippers Mavs game, Game Five, was
good. Yeah,
too. Yeah, that was really fun. Just the swing back and forth, and then the Mavs winning at the end. So
Tatum's 50-point game was pretty cool.
That was cool as well, yeah, because that was also reasonably close.
Yeah. And Tatum can be – he might be, like, the best offensive forward of the next 10 years, which is kind of crazy. Like, I depending on how you feel about Luka, but I think he'd be the best scoring forward going forward, and that's just kind of cool that he's coming into himself. I think it's, like – they need to figure out how to play going forward, because you can't have a guy whose usage rate is that crazy. Consistently. But I, you know, punchlines aside about the Boston Celtics, like, I do think they have a pretty exciting future having that guy. That guy is a cool guy to have in the league, no matter, you know, it's like what made OKC so much fun.
Yeah. I really do enjoy the Celtics, like, completing, you know, imploding as a franchise. You know, Danny Ainge leaves potentially to Utah, which, listen, man, why? Why? Just for the banter alone, you can't do it, man. Danny Ainge going to Utah or Portland, where apparently he's from. either one, I could see that happening. But in any case, yeah, the Celtics promoting Brad Stevens to the front office, things like this. Like, the thing is, like, how the Celtics might have like a top five situation in the NBA, you would say, between having Tatum and Brown locked up long term.
They have cap problems, but they have two guys.
Yeah, they have cap problems. That's okay. Like, you can find a way to offload Kemba. You can find a way to off.
I don't know, man.
I mean, you want John Wall? Come on, man. You want John Wall in TD Garden doing the
dunk? Oh my goodness. I think John Wall hates the Celtics. It seemed like
who doesn't hate the Celtics, though?
That's true.
Who doesn't hate the Celtics? This is it's just KG at this point. KG and Brian Scalabrine.
And Perk. Shout out to Perk.
I mean, even Perk was going against the Celtics a little bit, so. Because when they stopped them, I mean, like, damn, they really got the logo stomped on, which, by the way, like, I totally see why people will be mad at that, okay? Like, I could see that reason for people being mad at it. So is it a reason to throw a water bottle on a man? No, but, like.
Well, the point is for the team to, like, to do something about that.
Yeah.
The fact, it's like.
It happened at the end of the game, you know, like, everyone was walking off the floor. Like, there wasn't time, really, to do something about it, you know what I mean?
Tristan Thompson should have, like, given Kyrie an arm shiver the first time he went down the lane in Brooklyn the game after, because this team just got walked over. They did not stand up for themselves. They were not tough, and they looked like the Washington Generals out there at times against this Brooklyn Nets team. It's kind of embarrassing. I think that's the thing with this. If they'd shown some fight, I think that people would still have their jobs. They just looked like very dumb. It was very embarrassing.
It was. Quickly, before we get on to Twitter questions, let's go back to the LeBronto days, okay?
Yeah.
Would you have rather LeBron sip the beer courtside, or if he had stepped on the Raptor logo, Kyrie style?
The logo? It's got to be, like, the sipping the beer was sort of funny in addition to being disrespectful.
Oh, it wasn't funny to me in the moment. Okay, how about this? Fine, you're right. You know what? I'm gonna have to combo it up. I'm gonna have to put in the spinning the ball in front of Serge's face for like a solid 15 seconds.
That was rough.
Like he was shooting a Giannis free throw.
I like that Giannis is getting called for that now, and they're like, Giannis, come on, you gotta speed the game up. It's crazy. It's like he's a pitcher just waiting for like 45 seconds between each toss. It's brutal.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think the, like, whole LeBronto experience was worse, that, like, 2018 finals run.
Mm.
But I don't know. It seems like that was made worse by the fact that the team was collapsing. Kyrie and LeBron was wrong. LeBron was, like, was bullying us.
Oh, he was outright bullying us,
I believe the Toronto Raptors team and fan base and organization to be virtuous and pure-hearted, so it was villainous when he did it. Mm-hmm. The Boston Celtics fans and franchise deserve what they got. That's true. Hard for me to feel differently. But like stomping on the logo was disrespectful, but it's the kind of disrespect that gets worked out between the players. And if Kyrie got a hard foul, that would have been the end of it. And that would have been appropriate to me. Even like a hard foul would have been fine by me. I think a fan taking it on themselves, like, no, you paid to look at the logo. You don't defend it. It's very different. There are levels here.
No, there are definitely levels here. And that's the thing with the Celtics. It's like, who on that team was really going to step up and do something? Maybe Marcus Smart. The thing with Tristan Thompson did it, it's like, he's there a year. He's not going to be there next year, probably.
And he's friends
with
Kyrie,
And he's friends with Kyrie. Like, you know, they're hanging out in the same circles. Like, there's no way he's doing that, so. All right, so we have Twitter questions, which, again, thank you to everyone for sending in questions. Appreciate it. May not get to all of them. Some of them are repeats, so try to address those in tandem. I will say there's lots of questions on the draft, and for me right now, I don't have that great of a sense on the draft right now. That's what I'm currently working on. I'm, like, binging draft videos, so I'm trying to figure that out. So next week I will have more draft content, so I'm not going to address those right now. But we do have plenty of other Raptors questions, and let's get to those here. So the first one comes from Crispy Chick MMA. Okay. assuming we re-sign Gary Trent Jr., Kyle Lowry, and Cam Birch, and maybe even Rashawn Holmes, which seed do you see the Raptors at? Personally, I got us top four, top five. I'll stop you right here. You cannot get Rashawn Holmes on top of those other guys. You would have no cap space to do all this. Rashawn Holmes is going to go well beyond the mid-level exception. If you re-sign all three of those, what seed do you see the Raptors at? Josh, I'll start with you, man. What do you
see? Probably, yeah, top four makes sense. I don't think that the tippy top of the Eastern Conference gets changed. I think if Brooklyn's runs it back, which they have to, like, there's no plan for that. Yeah. So they'll be back. Philly will be back. And the Milwaukee Bucks, I think, have a real squad now. And they're a good regular season team. Yeah, top four, top five. I think they're better than, like, still, they're still better than the Hawks. They're better than the, like, Charlotte's not going to make a big leap. They're going to be better than the Knicks. The Knicks are going to be weird next year. They have, like, an offseason to figure out. Tough place to be for the Knicks.
Yeah.
Like, to impress and then have decisions to make. Like, it's not like you have a young team who made the – like, the Hawks. The Hawks are in a great position. They made – their team will be together. Like, John Collins, whatever, question mark, gets figured out.
Seems but like he's going to resign. Like,
So, and it seems like Nate McMillan's going to get that job, which –
he deserves.
Salute to Nate McMillan. Salute. You're totally underrated. I'm glad that you are in a situation where I imagine, like, you're next to TNT, so you're going to be getting way more favorite press. I think he's solid. Still feel a little bad about the Lloyd Pierce situation. You know, in Atlanta, they had Lloyd Pierce and they had voting rights. They have no Lloyd Pierce, no voting rights. Wow. You do the math. But yeah, probably, like, I don't know, top four, top five. Right. I think the team will be good. I'm excited for the next Raptors season. I don't think they're getting Rashawn Holmes, but I'm excited for the next Raptors season.
Yeah, I wouldn't go top four just because I do think Atlanta – I like Atlanta's depth too. That's the one thing with Atlanta is, like, we're seeing their top level right now, but you also see that they have lots of depth. Like, even in this Knicks series, like, whenever they went to the bench, it was still like, all right, so they're going to bring in Gallinari, Lou Williams. You know, we'll see if Lou's still there next year, but, like, you know – they just have guys coming off the bench, even like Okongwu, who was like a lottery pick this past year. Like, he had some moments there as well, especially in the closeout game. So that's the kind of depth that I don't fully see as much with the Raptors.
I don't know. If they bring back Kyle and a starting quality big, then you have Kem and JTJ off the bench, plus Yuta, plus Chris Boucher. Like, that seems like, If we just, in this fantasy world, and I agree that we're not, this fantasy isn't very realistic, but if they bring in a starting quality big, JTJ and Kyle Lowry.
The thing is, they can't really do that. They can't really bring the starting quality big. It's going to be Kem Birch. And if they choose to bring a starting quality big, then you're probably not
going to get it. It's no Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, or maybe no Gary Trent or something like that. But the Raptors do have depth. It's just like the level of depth falls off. And don't forget Boucher off the bench too. He's still.
I did say Chris. I did forget about him right away, but I did remember. But yeah, if the Raptors somehow have a starting quality big and Kyle or JTJ, maybe they're not past the Hawks, but they're right there with them.
Okay. Yeah, I'll hear that. I mean, like, I think they're in that next tier. Like, it's you never know with the regular season. It's really just about who's healthy and who's not, and like all this other stuff. So. It's hard to guess based off of that, but quality-wise, I think they're in the next tier.
Yeah, it'll be like those two teams in Miami.
And yeah, I know. I'm dropping Miami one more tier.
Really?
I'm dropping them one more tier. I want to see what happens, what they do with what they do with the offseason. Are they going to keep Duncan Robinson? Who's going to get paid? What are they going to do in terms of trades? Because they're a pretty active front office. Are they going to go out in free agency and add somebody? Like, let's say they add Kyle, for example. Okay, then you know what? They're in that tier again.
Yeah. But
they honestly had a pretty weird season. They're never that good in the regular season anyway. The Heat are not a team that, like, go out and win, like, 60 games or even 50 games, except for, like, obviously when they had the big three. And, yeah, I mean, we saw some substantial failures by Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. Like, bro, they got swept out of the first round.
Like, I agree. Yeah, yeah.
I know Milwaukee's good, but, like, get swept.
Is their starting backcourt there's no world where it's none in Hero, right? Because that seems...
No, that sucks.
Yeah, that sucks. It's not good enough.
They don't play any defense.
Tyler Hero gave you a Tyreek Evans-ass experience.
Like... Oh, wow. Wow. That's tough.
That's tough.
But it's possible. We'll see, though, later down the line. What? So, didn't Tyreek get kicked out of the league for doing...
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I could see that with Tyler as well. All right. Next question from Rowan Hamilton. What's the best route for the Raptors to add depth to the squad? Obviously, a starting center is a priority, but this team is pretty sorely lacking on wing depth as well. Are there any wing free agents on the market that you would see as a good fit? Maybe Mo Harkless or Torrey Craig. Those guys are okay. Those guys are, I would say, replacement level. Like, I mean, they're better than some of the options the Raptors had, but not by that much, to be honest. I think so. The good thing is the Raptors have two really good starting wings in Pascal and OG, right? Like, really, like, those guys are going to have you set at the two forward spots for a long time. So that's good. I'm not worried about that. Who's the third wing to come off the bench? That is something that is a little bit of a concern, because this year we saw Yuta in that role. We saw Stanley in that role. Towards the end of the season, we even seen Rodney Hood play a little bit of that role, but you know, Bembry played a little bit of that role. Like, it's not ideal. I think to have a third wing would really, really help give them some flexibility to go small, with some size on the floor. It's assuming Kyle doesn't come back. Maybe Gary is that guy, because he is 6'5", but you know, I don't know, it is a bit of a weakness, I would say.
Like, I wonder. There's no way the Raptors are in the, like, Kelly Oubre sweepstakes if they decide to pass on Gary Trent Jr. and Kyle Lowry. They'd have the flexibility. You're making a decision for a worse 3-point shooting, better defending Gary Trent Jr.
I don't trust Kelly Oubre, man. I mean,
he had, but he, like, you're buying him low. He's had a bad season.
Like, yeah, but he doesn't have good seasons. That's one of the issues with this. I mean, I thought he last year was good with the Suns, but like, no, if between him or Gary, I still take Gary. I know, like, Oubre has the athleticism and you know the impact to maybe do more defensively, or definitely rebounds better and things like that. But like, the shooting with Gary, I think, is actually elite. And as long as he's not, you know, the sixth man and then having to create all of it himself, he's a pretty efficient player. You know,
you think Hardaway's not available?
I mean, he is a free agent, so he's a free agent, but
they really not bring him back. Like, that Mavericks team, they don't really have a roster. Like, their roster construction is not good. Getting rid of one of your, like, most consistent players seems like not something wise to do.
I agree, but this is also Mark Cuban, who let go of, like, Steve Nash. Not even just Steve Nash. Remember after the championship, they won, and then they let go of Tyson Chandler. It's like, bro, that, you guys just won the title.
Yeah, Tyson Chandler is going to be pretty good for the next 6 years. Like,
yeah, and he won, like, Defensive Player of the Year, like, the next year with the Knicks.
Yeah.
So you never fully know their brain trust in that front. I think they have a walk-away number for him, but – I mean, if he walks, they need to replace him with somebody.
Yeah.
He has been that good. And shout out to Tim Hardaway Jr., man. He had that killer three at the end of game five. Because the Mavs have low-key been pretty brutal in terms of, like, generating good shots late, I feel like. Like, I think the Clippers have done a better job of pressuring Luka as the game goes on. Obviously, he still had, like, a 40-piece. So, you know, that's not something that you would commend their overall defense. But late in the game, I thought they gave Luka some real problems. Tim Hardaway Jr. hitting that shot, and then Dorian Finney-Smith hitting a corner three and making some plays. I mean, Mavs, man, they're surprisingly not that bad. I don't know. I thought they were frauds.
Yeah, not bad.
But they're less fraudulent. It's just Kristaps who's that fraudulent. In terms of the center, I still think that, like, yeah, you're going to get Kem, and Kem's going to start at center. And I know that doesn't sound as sexy, but I just think that, like, for the price and for – the fit that he has with the Raptors, I think I'm comfortable with that. I mean, it's something where later down the line, if you want it
back, or okay,
no, I mean, regardless of Kyle's back or not, like, I don't really see what's the issue with keeping Kim. Like, I mean, and even starting Kim. Like, he was really solid with all the guys. And it wasn't, like, this idea that, like, oh, yeah, Kyle just, propped them up. It was all Kyle. Like, Kemp showed great chemistry with all the guards. Like, even Malachi, he's playing with a rookie, he still got good shots. So, I'm comfortable with Kemp. That's just something where down the line, if you have championship aspirations, you're going to have to upgrade. But the comparison I've made here is, like, basically the Amir Johnson situation. Like, I was always comfortable with Amir Johnson playing the power forward spot. Of course, he got injured and whatever, and his ankle seemed like a perpetual weight for him. But at the same time, he was very productive. But then when the Raptors really need to get serious about winning, they went out and got, like, Serge.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, download Courtside Moms.
Definitely download Courtside Moms. Shout out, Wendy.
Shout out.
Next question from Eunice. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing these people's names. I'm sorry. I hate that myself. But anyway, watching all the young talents balling in the playoffs like that, do you think we have enough talent to compete next season? Do you think we can be better than a seventh seed in the East? Okay, we can be better than a seventh seed in the East. I don't think, like, look at the Knicks were the fourth seed.
Yeah, we're better than any
team. We got more talent than the Knicks, man. Come on.
We're better than any of the, like, play-in teams. The Raptors are better than any of the play-in teams. They will be a playoff team, barring them not being in Toronto and contracting COVID and the Kyle Lowry rest stuff. Like, take all the things off the table. This team should be a playoff team with very little reservation in my mind.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think in terms of enough talent to like compete in terms of past the first round series, maybe not even past the first round series, considering if you aren't, let's say, in the 4-5 matchup, you're probably facing Philly, Milwaukee, or Brooklyn next year, which the Raptors would have a hard time getting past any of those three teams, especially with the way the team is kind of constructed. Can they compete and push them? Yeah, sure. But, like, it's not going to be enough for that. I think that's the bigger question, though, is, like, what is the next step for this team? Like, I think, obviously, you still got to figure out who's going to lead this team, obviously, with Masai still being out there. But the bigger question is, like, which direction do the Raptors kind of go here? Like, what is the next step? Who is the next player you sort of covet after? I think, post-championship, everything leading up to the championship made a lot of sense. Obviously, the Kawhi situation was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You take that chance because you had tons of assets and lots of great players that you have developed over the years and collected. You were able to flip that. You went win a championship. That was perfect. And then after Kawhi left, it was like, okay, let's pivot to the Giannis strategy. Okay, this summer 2021, you got the cap space. And that kind of went away. So, like, what is this current next plan? That's the thing that is very uncertain. It's like, what is the next upgrade? Because with everything in terms of NBA basketball, like, of course, you need to generate a program. You need to generate, get good coaching. You need to get a good group of defenders, unselfish players, guys to sort of fall in line. But also at the same time, one of the most crucial ingredients is you need that superstar. And, like, I think the Raptors are clearly in need of that kind of player. You can build everything else, but without that central piece, that you're probably only going to go one or two rounds at most. And that's what we saw with the Colin DeMar years. They had the program, they had the supporting pieces, but the number one guy just wasn't fully there for them. And that's how it goes in playoff basketball. So,
facts.
How do you get the next guy, Josh? What's going on, man? What are we doing?
I don't really think that there's a easy answer right now. Like, this team, I think a lot of what I'm trying to think through now is what, like, after the lottery, you see what happens. What happens happens. But then, does it make sense to bring Kyle to the team and then let the team play their first 6 weeks together and see where Pascal, OG, Fred, and Gary Trent Jr. have taken their games before thinking about moving Kyle, assuming that Kyle agrees to a contract with the Raptors with that caveat? Because I don't think he will, though.
That's the thing. Because he's talking about it. He's saying his kids are at an age where he doesn't want to move them around. Like, let's say, like, they're like, it's like one thing if your kids are like 2 and 3 years old, move them around wherever. Like, I'm sure it's a hassle, but it's doable, especially with the support NBA players get and the resources. When you get to a point where your kids are like 10 and 11 years old and they make friends and they go to school,
Yeah.
And you got to move them around. I think at that point, they're probably just like, look, you know, I'm trying to stay somewhere. Keep that for my kids, right? So.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But I really don't know what the Raptors core is going to look like beyond being just sort of optimistically confident. Mm. But can Pascal Siakam look like a, you know, all-NBA player for the first 6 weeks of – because then that really does change the ceiling for this team. And
yeah,
I think he looked like he got better each week through the like second half of the season. Like as he recovered from COVID and got more comfortable, he looked more and more confident. And I wouldn't be shocked if Pascal Siakam is voted an All-Star starter and looks tremendous at the gate. And I mean the Eastern Conference, but on the other hand, we saw what happened this year. Like Pascal was slow out the gate, and it kind of contributed. His performance contributed with his team kind of falling on their face out the gate, and then struggling to get back to 500 before COVID-19 sort of determined the rest of the season. But they have talent that can carry them to top four, top five seeding. They just need to go out and prove it. And what they do from there, it depends. Because the difference between a four seed making a move to get to the, you know, two seed is different than a seven seed trying to get to the two seed. And that's where I don't know. I do not know where the Raptors will fall between the four and eight seed in the Eastern Conference.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. And again, a lot of that just is determined based off circumstances.
And performances. These guys have to go and show and prove that they...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I do believe in the group. Like, I really do believe in the core guys to be at a playoff level and to be at a competitive level. I believe them, especially with the competent center in the middle, to be a really good defensive club. And there are definitely ceilings and weaknesses. And you can find the struggle with that is sort of like, I mean, like probably building a front office, probably like when you solve a Rubik's Cube, you know, like you get one face, but then like there's that one corner at the bottom, then you're trying to shuffle around to get that one face done. But then like it screws up the rest of the square. Like that's kind of how it is. And you're, you know, but for now, I think the Raptors are trying to build through the middle, and building through the middle means having some talented guys in the roster, developing those guys. And when the moment is right, you can move that along. But I honestly don't think that it's not going to be something where the Raptors jump into that contention level next year, the next 2 years. I think they're going to take the next few years to really group, like grow the group. And then eventually when they have enough players, then make a move for some of those guys. Even some of the guys available right now, like, you know, I mean, we'll get to them later, but I don't really see the timing to be perfectly right for the Raptors, but you know, who knows? I don't want to sound like Danny Ainge either with the timing and everything like that. So next question from Ronald Lowe, my Twitter dad, who on the Raptors can you imagine having a breakout season next year? It could be an already good player taking their game to the next level.
Like Chris Boucher, full-time power forward, I think could be really good. Like Chris Boucher does not have to play minutes at the center. I think he can just have, I mean, how many breakout seasons is Chris Boucher going to have in a row? But I think that'll be a move that he relishes, not having to play minutes at the five. That's probably my answer. Like OG can't have a breakout season. He can just continue to improve and come into himself. It's like, I think a really great guy. Maybe Jared Allen. Breakthrough season as a Toronto Raptor.
If the Raptors can get Jared Allen, I'd be very happy. And
he'd have a breakthrough season.
But it seems like Cleveland wants to give him $100 million. Yo, what is Cleveland doing? What? You shouldn't be giving anybody $100 million. Save your money. You know what I mean? Put that in the, you know, put that in the stock. Something, man. Like, buy a stock, buy some bonds. Like, I don't know, man. Get some top shot. Like, just diversify your assets, but you don't need to spend $100 million on any players on the team that's winning 20 games a year. You just don't.
Yeah, if it's going to be anybody, I think that Chris Boucher, I think he will have a change in his role next season, and I think it will be good for him. That's my answer. Do you have a different one?
I still really believe in Pascal. And
what is a breakout season for Pascal?
He gets the mid-range game consistently enough, and he can hit. he's at a point where he's in a good rhythm with the three-point shot, where he's willing to take them all the time and making them at a respectable clip. But I just think that, like, mastering that mid-range game for him is going to be so important, because, like, every single great player who drives to the basket needs a mid-range game to sort of offset some of the other stuff. Like, it's just either you have that mid-range game or you develop an elite passing game. You know what I mean? But ideally, you have the mid-range game to offset the fact that you're always driving, because, you know, you like, pretty much, like, you can't – even a guy like Giannis, who's, like, probably one of the how athletic do you think Giannis is, like, in terms of all-time NBA players? Like, it's got to be him, like, LeBron, Wilt, which obviously none of us seen. But, like, just based off the grainy YouTube clips, you can see him. I mean, like, he competed in, like, the 100-yard dash and stuff like that. Like, he did high jump. Like, you know, like, okay, so I probably put Wilt in there as well. Shaq for his Russ. Size.
Russell Westbrook.
Giannis, okay, but yeah, I agree.
Giannis is better, but Russell is in that like.
Okay, he is in that list positionally, but he's just so much smaller than the guys. So, like,
oh, sure.
There's less of an amplifier to the fact that he is that athletic. But I was saying, Giannis is like a top five athletic guy.
Yeah.
Even he can't always rampage the basket. So, I think, you know, with Pascal, like, he's going to have to grow that mid range game. And if he grows it, then again, then you get a lot closer to your ultimate goal here. So, I'm still going to go with, I'm still riding with Pascal, man. He's got a great work ethic. I know some people on here OG as well. I think there is growth there as well, but OG has, I don't know. I wouldn't doubt OG either, but I think Pascal's one, probably his improvement will be more meaningful at the very top than OG in sort of the secondary, tertiary kind of role. Next question from Dan Rourke. Do you think Nick Nurse should abandon his flyby philosophy when defending the three-point shots and implementing a strategy that doesn't lead to as many breakdowns? This is a good question, man. Very tactical question. I believe this guy's a coach. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, he's a coach. So that makes a lot of sense. So that's a very good coaching question. So what he means here is that, like, you know, every coach has a philosophy on closeouts, right? Some people are more measured in the closeout. And the more measured you are in the closeout, maybe you put less pressure on the shooter, and so there's more chance of the shooter making the shot. But what you're doing is you're keeping your defense intact so that you're not allowing blow-bys to happen as often. And what you see with the Raptors is a lot of the times the guys will jump out to the three-point line, because Nick Nurse's philosophy is to be aggressive on the closeout. Not undisciplined, right? Because you'll see him get mad at, like, Chris Boucher for jumping at fakes and whatever. But generally speaking, he will use his guys to jump out of the three-point line. And sometimes teams have scouted against that, taking an extra dribble to relocate to the side to get more room, or drive past and create more room there. I think for me, the three, it makes sense what he's doing, especially with the roster that he has. He has a lot of young forwards on the team, a lot of very athletic forwards. So I think pressing that advantage is very important. But the thing is, one of the reasons why the Raptors were so bad defensively for a large part of the year was they had no stability in the middle. So everyone would have to overhelp. And, you know, Knicker's defense does have a lot of help defense built into the defense, but, like, it was to a degree where every single drive they would need someone extra to help, because they didn't trust that the help would be there at the rim. And that pulled people closer to the middle. And then, so that made more jump kind of flyby closeouts than necessary. Like, it exacerbated the problem. I don't think that's like a symptom of the problem, of a bigger problem, rather than the biggest problem in itself. So I actually don't mind the strategy as much. Obviously, I think players should use discretion. Like, I think there's a very big difference between Utah, who closes out really aggressively and sometimes leaves his feet, but for the most part will stop short and then also move his feet to contest the drive and to contain the drive, versus, like, Boucher trying to jump out and block three-point shots, which he does at an elite rate. Like, he literally led the league in blocked three-point shots. But, you know, he also conceded a lot offensively based on that kind of aggressive strategy. So
I also think that, like, that one article, I think it was, like, on the Celtics blog about the Raptors violating the defensive 3 seconds rule, just, like, them getting called on it.
Oh, whoa, it seemed like cool. Every team in the NBA does that. What do you mean?
But it did seem like a big part, like, the Marc Gasol, Kyle Lowry, like, paint defense dominance was assisted by them letting the, like, athletic forwards attack above the 3-point line and then having these two brilliant defenders waiting for them. Like, it was just sort of, it worked. Yeah. Every team does it. But I wonder if the Raptors, after getting called on it, it did seem like they drifted away from leaving Kyle Lowry under the basket for 6 seconds at a time. But yeah, that's an interesting question. And
so you're telling me Celtics fans called the police on the Raptors playing defense?
I mean, yeah.
That's tough. But not unexpected, but tough. I will say that, though, having a – so Kem is going to be obviously very different than Serge. And, well, not that different from Serge, but very different from Mark, especially defensively. But I think the nice thing with Kem is that he can play up higher so that there's less penetration that occurs in the first place. And I think the less dribble penetration you allow in the initial pick and roll action, then that means that down the line there's less breakdowns where you need to as aggressively come out and fly out as shooters in the three-point line. I mean, look, listen, this is the modern NBA. Teams are very good at moving the ball. Teams are very, very optimally spaced. Most teams have great shooters at every position. So you're going to have to defend a lot of the three-point line. But I still like the strategy, and I want to see how it goes with Kem and the starting group for a while longer. And if it really doesn't work next season, then yeah, you could tweak it. But I think the nice thing with Nick is what Nick always likes to say about this is you start out really aggressive and then you can rein them in. It's a lot harder to have them play really passive and then bump their aggression. I think for a lot of those teams, like Portland, for example, they'll play like no defense, right? No aggression, nothing. And then at the end of the game, they'll try to get aggressive, but like they can't really do it. Like it's not something that's in them. It's not something that's trained. Yeah. They start fouling and, you know, a lot of it falls apart. And if it's not for Dame making every single step back jumper, they probably lose a ton. But, you know, I think the Raptors like the approach where they start off really aggressive and they can rein guys in. So
it's a good speaking question, of man. The Blazers.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Blazers, by the time you post this podcast, is there still to have a job?
Well, they got to give him time to pack. So that's, you know, because, you know, if you don't give guys the time to pack, then the company's got to send somebody to go to the office with a box. They pack it all up for you. Then they got to bring it to your house. You know, it's a whole liability thing. Yeah, so it might take more than today in particular. By the time of recording, it's only like 9, 10 a.m. On the West Coast. So,
yeah.
Portland's a nice place. Also, I really like my trip to Portland. It's the Oregon coast is very nice.
Speaking of coaches who still have their jobs, the Nate Bjorkman thing, it's like it seems more and more fictitious as days go, because that article made it seem like, you know, they were going to have a restraining order against Nate Bjorkman like as soon as the final buzzer went off. Like it seemed very, very clearly bad. And now everyone in the Raptor organization, people on the team threw water on the story, but it's weird that he still has that job. Like, I just want an update on that story because it sounded crazy. Everyone's like, this is not true. And now we just haven't heard an update. And it's been, when did they lose the, it's like three weeks ago.
Yeah, I do feel bad for him in that sense, because I think coaches are involved in things like, you know, draft preparation and things like that. Yeah. And so
let him come back to the Toronto Raptors so they can figure out who they're taking.
Well, maybe they're waiting on another coach to get let go or to become Hair available. Stops. Oh man, that'd be great.
Frank Vogel, they're bringing back Frank Vogel.
I mean, you know, he wouldn't be terrible.
It's not Frank Vogel's fault. He deserves his job.
Why is Frank Vogel always so happy, man? It's like, I was just like, in the third quarter, they were asking him, like, hey, what do you guys,
because he was in Orlando.
Yeah,
you're right. They had the men in Orlando.
He's just perpetually
smiling.
He lives in Los Angeles. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's exactly it, man. He kind of looks like, you know, Tintin. You know, Tintin's Adventures, but like Tintin, like midlife adventures. Like he's like an aged out Tintin. Anyway, great comic, Tintin, if you have kids. I don't know. Next question from Jamari. Do you think Masai is signing contingent on the Raptors being willing to pay the luxury tax over the next 3 years or so? No. This Raptors team is not a team that should be paying the luxury tax right now. You pay the luxury tax when you're serious.
That's true.
Like when you're like,
yeah,
you know, really that's ready to push all in and things like that. Like there's no point in paying the luxury tax for this club. And that's not even something I'm trying to like not see from MLSC. I just think that like more spending is not necessarily better, more competitive. If anything, if you really, really spend a ton, you're handcuffed from being competitive in the future. So don't really like right this idea right now that then you should go on them. They should go on the luxury tax. To be honest, I'm not really as worried about that. I think besides flipping, looking for other things from the board to see, get some assurances from the board because some of the names have changed. Also, some of them have insidious backgrounds, which, you know, maybe not necessarily that big of a surprise. Shout out to your shout out to your work profile photo, man. This is represent.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride Month, guys. And everybody out there, not just guys. But yeah, like I think Masai's probably looking for other assurances beyond the money. I think the money is gonna be there for him.
Yeah. When was that? It was that also seemed like a long time ago. Masai's presser, it seemed like negotiations were underway and he was just figuring out details and trying to attach all of his goals with the organization to his next contract and not just his salary and a commitment to spend. It seemed like, you know, Masai probably has a long list of stuff that he wants to do because he's a very, 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 very ambitious man and will try to get this organization to support the goals that he has, as lofty as they are.
Yeah.
And they will, I think.
Would love if they did it sooner, but yeah, I agree. Next question from at Bilbo Bangins. All right, not bad name. Not bad. How much does the lease implosion help Masai with his negotiations with MLSC? I mean, it can't hurt, but I don't see a significant impact. I mean, I don't know. Maybe MLSC might... They might look at the Leafs imploding and try to commit more resources to the Leafs. That's the only thing I'm like, maybe. But, I mean, to be honest, like, both teams make a ton of money. Like, I don't really see the money having affecting, you know, both sides of the same business.
So, between Marner and Matthews, which one is Kyle? Which one is DeMar? Because you just trade the DeMar of that situation for a disgruntled superstar. Good times ahead.
Well, I mean, based on what I've seen in this playoffs... Both of them are Patrick Patterson. No, I'm kidding. I mean, what did Matthews have? Like 40 goals?
You're better than me. I don't know anything about this team.
You know, the funniest thing right now is when you're watching, because I actually have cable now. So, well, I mean, I have cable. I subscribe to Sportsnet and TSN. So okay. I started, yeah. Anyway, also, you know, I do have a company account. In any case, So I'm actually watching the commercials is what I'm trying to say, instead of just like watching League Pass, which you can't really see local commercials. And they keep showing this Tim Hortons commercial where you're going to get this like collectible item with like a hockey stick. And it's from like the best players in the game. Like it'll be like, I don't even know, Shea Weber, some other guys, whatever. And like, they just keep talking. This one Leafs fan is like, oh, you mean Austin Matthews, the best player in the game? And I'm just thinking like how awkward that commercial is after this first round. But in any case, I mean, I guess it's got to be Marner. Is there?
I don't know. The only thing I know about Mitch Marner is his dad wrote his contract or something. I don't know anything about the Mitch Marner's like family was very involved in his negotiations. This was just like all sports radio takes that I absorbed through osmosis. There are no facts. This is all feelings.
Okay, here's the thing with this, right? I really don't understand why people get that upset necessarily because the family's involved. Generally speaking, we're talking about like 18, 19, 20-year-old kids.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world.
We're making a huge life decision. Your family's going to be involved, man. What are you talking about, man?
But if you work for an affiliate of the team, you got
why are we killing them? Because, oh my God, you're an 18-year-old. You're not deciding what you're doing for your own life. And it's like,
yeah, sure you're not letting us tell you what's right for you. But it is what it is.
Have y'all had parents? Maybe you haven't. I don't know. I feel bad, but like, yeah, no, but seriously though, like, yeah, they're involved. Not a surprise. Like LeVar Ball is involved in their kid's life. It's like, yeah, he was 15 years old. Why would he not be involved? He needs a legal guardian. Maybe too involved to send him to Lithuania, but still, you know, he got two kids who were both top three picks in the NBA. So
LiAngelo was on a roster for like an afternoon. So
he was on the Pistons, which, you know,
Could they have needed one fewer center on this team?
Do you think Dwayne Casey compared him to Pascal Siakam or OG Anunoby? Or Dirk Nowitzki? Or Gary Payton, actually.
Probably all of the above. I think he's like, you know, this guy's a cross of Pascal, Gary Payton, OG. did he get the extension? Like
he did. He got like a one extra year or whatever. Salute to him, man. Listen, that record does not matter. He's had one of the worst situations to deal with. I mean, Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin were his go-to players as recently as like 2 years ago. So,
yeah. Yikes.
Next question from Mark. How many games would the Lakers have won if they included future Sixth Man of the Year candidate Tim Horton Tucker in that trade for Kyle Lowry?
How many more games would they have won
if they had swapped
the regular the Lakers regular season record? That didn't matter.
No. Like, I think it probably means playoffs.
They would have won this series if they had Kyle Lowry. Well, maybe not. Like Anthony Davis is their best player, and he's in bad shape. And I feel bad for him because he's always been dinged up, and I would like him to be great because I think he's unbelievably talented. And it sucks. Like I really am hoping that Anthony Davis is able to have a really healthy season next year. I'm not sure Kyle Lowry fixes. It makes them more resilient. Like Dennis Schroeder was not great. Yeah. But Anthony Davis was their most important player, and did he stretch? Like, what is the deal with Anthony Davis?
Does he stretch?
Like, everything's pulled stretch, on this absolutely. Man. Everything's pulled. You ever see those, videos on Instagram or TikTok where, like, a barbecue pit master will pull out a pork shoulder and take a knife and go, no, and then squish it with his hands? That's every ligament on this man's body. Like, Anthony Davis, I don't know. Like LeBron James spends $1 million a year and has been fairly durable for such a long time. Ask him for a referral. Say, do you know somebody who knows somebody who can help me with my hip, my knees, my ankle, my shoulder? It's out of control. Like Anthony Davis.
Oh my God.
You are too talented to make too much damn money to be injured all the time. Figure it out because.
Yeah.
You're like, even the, like, it's not even a fit. It's like a fit. Just seeing success, like talented people succeed, because he's unbelievably talented. Anyway.
I agree. I love this rant. This is great. The image of just like a it's tough, man. It's tough. You really just called this man a brisket. I mean, how many games? I think the Lakers probably would have won this series with Kyle. I think it's the reason why the Lakers were really hesitant with this. It's not necessarily just because of THT, I think it was the overall depth that they were losing. They were losing three guys that were in the rotation. Now, granted, one thing that would have been huge in this series was not to be overlooked. Dennis Schroeder had a Eric Bledsoe-esque impact. Yeah. Okay. It was not good from him. So if you replace him with Kyle, that is not just you're not just getting Kyle Lowry. It will be similar to the Jrue Holiday over Eric Bledsoe situation in Milwaukee, is that you're also removing a negative. Dennis was not good in this playoffs period. He had some nice moments, but like overall not good. And you're losing KCP, which I thought KCP was actually pretty important. And KCP is an important part for the Lakers. Yeah. I thought he was like their third best player last year throughout the playoff run, which obviously one and two are so far ahead of three, but like,
yeah,
I still think he was very important.
No, player. He was awesome. He deserves.
Yeah. And he was banged up too. So, you know, salute to him.
Yeah. This Lakers team, they do, to me, in my mind, get like, maybe I'm just being a LeBron stan, but I do think that they get the like, they played a lot of basketball in a calendar year, like a tremendous amount of basketball. And it showed. Like,
yeah,
LeBron James, they were just worn down and their guys weren't there when the games mattered, and they played a team of young guys who were about that action. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. All right. We have six more questions. We're going to go through them a little quicker. All right. Derek Andrews asks, have you seen a difference in the TV production of the national games in these playoffs versus previous years? So many jarring close-up angles of players, fake crowd noise over actual crowds, blurring By the way, that's actually the Clippers logo or the Clippers slogan, fake crowd noise over actual crowds, blurring of backgrounds, etc. Is this a possible after effect of 14 months of bubble basketball? There's been some talking. I think the 8K cameras. So what they've really done with that is like giving you a really, really focused look. To be honest, it feels like you're in like a lucid dream. Like that's how close it is. So you're like, am I sure I'm not dreaming? But the fringes are blurred. So that is kind of an odd shot because normally you see a more flat image. Obviously, there's some fake noise because you can't have as many crowds. But yeah, I mean, I think it's the TV side is in a very tough spot. So I do feel bad for them. Some of the guys are still doing some of the broadcasters are still doing it remotely, I believe. So that's also kind of awkward. It's a lot of I don't know. It's a lot of negotiating going on. I do miss seeing all the players sit together in a bench, though.
Yeah, I wonder if that will be back next season. It seems.
I hope so, because it's just like they look like they're sitting in a plane right now with like the seats all scattered.
Having guys along the baseline's weird. Like it just doesn't. It looks like. Like Klay Thompson, because he was always in street clothes, he just looked like a really rich guy who had great seats, and the guys were like friendly. He looked like a super fan.
He was.
Yeah, he was. That's facts. Yeah. I don't hate it. I think it's not what it used to be. It's not what it will be. Mm-hmm. It's better than last year. Last year's broadcast, I didn't like at all. I hated that stupid rail camera. Like how does anybody watch basketball that way?
Yeah,
I think the choices they're making are a product of their environment, but don't hate it.
Yeah. One thing I do miss is the shot when a guy's shooting an important free throw. Let's say Giannis is shooting a free throw at Scotiabank and everybody in Scotiabank Arena is screaming and yelling at them. And they show that shot from the baseline where the opposite baseline where they zoom in all the way across. So you can sort of see Giannis shooting, but you also see what Giannis sees in front of him. I like that image, and that doesn't really exist anymore because then you can get a really big sense of the pressure, the amount of like you know reactions from the fans and everything like that, the energy. That part is missing. But
all those inflatable clappers.
Yeah, I don't miss those, man. Those things are very loud. But that's right next to the Vuvuzela for most annoying things you see at a game. Except for that. Third, the Peyton Pritchard Celtics fan is number one on my list. His face should be on all the arenas. Like if you see this man, like he stole something. Anyway, the next question from the creative one. So what are we trading for Dame when he requests a trade this summer?
I mean, who's off the table? Pascal OG?
Nobody. No.
Yeah. Like not. Nobody. Yeah. But
Damian Lillard, he's not coming.
He wouldn't, but I'm sad to see Dame leave Portland. It just seems sad to see it not. It didn't fail because of Dame Miller. That's abundantly true, and it failed. This team is done. Terry Stotts is looking at U-Haul rates right now. Danny Ainge and Austin Ainge is going to be the next head coach.
Austin Ainge.
Yeah, it's over. I hope that Dame's able to, if he's in Portland with a revamped cast or elsewhere, I hope that he's happy and successful. And he is without a doubt the second best point guard of the generation. And he's not done yet.
Well, okay. How would you rank between him, Steph? Steph is number one. You don't even want to hear an argument. I don't know, people are like, well, Dame's just as good as Steph. Steph had a better supporting cast. Literally every single time they played each other in the playoffs, like Steph LeBronto them. Steph LeBronto Steph the Dame Lillard for multiple years. And Westbrook. Would you say Dame?
I think I have Dame ahead of Westbrook.
Okay. Only because Westbrook does have the MVP and the triple double thing.
Dame is more skilled and could be the number one option on a team that could win. I don't know if that's true for Russell Westbrook, and I believe Westbrook. I think he is third. I think he is right there, and I think that there's a gap after that.
Kyle Lowry's in there.
Kyrie? No, I mean,
is Kyle top five then? Is he five in that list? Yeah, he can't be lower than that. He's won more than almost all these guys.
He's, I think he would be. Yeah, it'd be like Kyrie, then Lowry, then.
Then I don't know, to be honest.
Then I don't. Off. Then it starts to get weird. But Kyle Lowry gets that five spot because he isn't as talented as those guys. He's just Kyle Lowry. Like he has all the Kyle Lowry stuff, which gets you. He's like Kyle Lowry isn't more talented than Michael Conley, but Michael Conley probably doesn't crack this top 10. But Kyle Lowry's that dude, so he gets to be a top point guard of this generation.
Yeah, that's fair. And I could even hear an argument of Kyle over some of these guys. I'm not gonna lie to you because he has a ring as well. Don't forget. Okay, only the guys with rings are Steph, Kyrie, and Kyle. All right, Dame and Westbrook do not. Dame has gone to the conference finals once, I think. And did not go well for him. He got swept by a team who Kyle Lowry then went on to beat. So, you know, and Westbrook, honestly, as much as I respect Westbrook, like, you know, if you got to bring up a Westbrook versus Dame argument, you have to bring up the fact that Dame literally hit the shot and then waved goodbye at the OKC team and destroyed that whole club. Like, OKC, it looks like how many players have left over from that club? Honestly, like, not a single
one. I don't think anybody.
Like, maybe one.
Maybe the rookies who were, you know, not like.
Which were who though? Like they got like, rid of like Diallo like, and all these other guys.
Like Lou Dort wasn't. When was Lou Dort drafted?
He went undrafted.
He went undrafted. So when did he? Last year. What was his first year with the organization? It was last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then maybe you're right. Yeah. Maybe there's nobody there. Maybe it's just like Sam Presti said. I have to get rid of everyone.
Bro, Billy Donovan's gone. Westbrook's gone. Melo's gone.
Nick Collison's gone. Paul George
is gone. Yeah, he was gone. Steven Adams is gone.
Yeah,
they don't have anybody left, man. Mike Muscala's gone. I don't even know, to be honest. I don't even think he was on that team. Anyway, next question we have from Mo the Beast. Do the Raptors trade the number 1 or 8 pick for a more experienced player like Beal to add to the current core?
Yes, if Bradley Beal wants to come for Toronto and the Wizards accept a package headlined by a draft pick, yeah, you do it. Yes. Yeah. It's not. This is fantasy.
Draft pick plus OG. You're doing that.
It's with Bradley Beal is signed for term, right? Yeah, he's signed. Yeah, probably. Doesn't he have like another two full years?
He signed like a one year extension or something like that. Which, you know, I mean, most players are on 1 year contracts.
If he's not, if you don't have term, if you have term for Beal, probably. But if you don't. Yeah.
Beal is under contract next season, guaranteed, and then player option later on.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, that's tough. I'm probably not going to say do that. But just the lottery pick for 1 year of Beal, yes, of course.
Yeah, the lottery pick for 1 year of Beal, yes. No problem.
Next question from Ramon. Do you have a WNBA team? Which one has the strongest amount of Canadian content for Raptors fans to root for? I do Kia not have Euro. What's that?
Kia Nurse with the Euro step game winner.
Oh man,
Tuesday, Monday,
incredible shot,
incredible stuff.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's a couple of good teams to really watch out for. I think honestly, Las Vegas has been really fun this year to watch. I mean, they've been a good team the last few years anyway. But between Asia Wilson, you know, Liz Cambage, Chelsea Gray, like that's pretty good. That's pretty fun to watch. I think a lot of people are hopping on the Liberty bandwagon this year as well. Because they drafted Sabrina on Escu, and she's incredible for a rookie, especially, but just overall. So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily just pick based on the Canadian talent alone. I think like that's one of the nice things because unfortunately there is no WNBA team in Canada. Like you're kind of free to pick whatever you want, and you know, there's some pretty good teams out there. You know, like Seattle's really fun to watch as well. You know, obviously the Mercury. So
I feel like next week there's a Liberty Mercury game that I feel like that'll be a pretty good entertaining match. Yeah. I mean, I've watched a lot of Liberty. They fortunately play at like 6 PM a lot. So it's on at a good time. Like I like
that it's on TV a lot more.
Yeah.
Like you can actually watch the product and then you realize that like it's great basketball. Like
it's good. Football,
Yeah. Shout out Kia Nurse, though, man.
Shout out. Yeah. That was unbelievable. Now, the Euro,
No, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All right, next question. From the Jack Armstrong burner account. I gotta say, better from my money, better than the Aaron Baines fan account of, you know, I think that I've enjoyed seeing various screenshots of Jack in my mentions. Anyway, this person asks, who should represent the Raptors at the lottery, Jalen Harris or Bobby Webster? To me, this answer is very obvious. So I want to hear from you, Josh. The Raptors obviously need to send a representative to New York City for the lottery in June, later this month. Who are the Raptors sending?
I don't think it's going to be Bobby Webster. I think I don't know. Can Masai's son do the job? Why not, right? Can Ding Ding do it?
We gotta send Ding Ding. Oh man! Shout out Ding Ding, by the way. Ding Ding is like a top five Chinese nickname. Like, there's so many Ding Dings. So I like to just imagine that Masai is a Chinese son, which obviously he doesn't. But no, the answer out here was very obvious, man. You got to put Fred, Mr. Bet on Yourself. He's got to put
on his
merch with the dice, with the money. You know, of course, Fred is not going to turn down an opportunity to showcase the gear. You know, the business.
He's wearing Cartier frames, diamonds everywhere.
I was going to say, by the way, this year, after Fred got the extension or got the new contract, his swag went up another level. He wore only like FBV gear for a while. He leveled up this year, absolutely.
Facts.
But no, you got to send Fred, man. I think Fred will be great for it. I mean, last time the Raptors had the lottery pick, obviously, was on behalf of the Knicks from the Bargnani trade, which later became Jakob Pertl, which went into the Kawhi trade. You know, they had Masai there and whatever. But yeah, I mean, send Fred. If Fred wants to do something.
Actually, it might be Wayne Embry. I wouldn't be that surprised if they sent Wayne
Embry. Ooh, I like that one as well. But yeah.
Yeah, that's
pretty fun. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, last question comes from Alex, who unfortunately has put me on the spot and asked, who are your top five favorite Montreal Canadiens players of all time? let's see if I can name five players, period.
Patrick Waugh is the only guy.
Patrick Waugh.
Yeah.
Rocket Richard, right? From that
better book, than
the hockey sweater or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
PK Subban, Pernell Carl, Rexdale Findeth.
Exactly. Yep. Carey Price. He was the number one reason in the Leafs losing.
Yep.
So that's five. That's four already. That's pretty good.
And Max Domi. Right,
I thought he moved on. He's like in Phoenix. Well, yeah, he did play there.
He played there at some point.
We got to five.
There we go.
Shout out Nick Suzuki. All right, I was like, is he Asian? He probably is Asian.
It is an Asian sound last name.
Yeah, this is tough, man. Brendan Gallagher. Weber plays in there. Weber plays there now. Okay, Shea Weber.
Oh, Shea Weber.
Uh huh. And
Oh, Chris Chelios, because that's a good name. That's a good.
Wait, did he play? I thought he was on the Red Wings.
I think he played for them for some time.
Okay, all right. Here's one that people will not expect from me in this opportunity. I didn't expect it for myself. Max Pacioretty.
Who is that? Could be anybody.
Throwing names out there. All right.
Yeah, that's my main man, George Harvey.
Alex Galchenyuk was on there as well, I think. He's on the Leafs now, but yeah, no, this is pretty good. I'm surprised. I think we got to 10 collectively, so this is not bad, Alex. Okay, so pick five of those guys. You know, PK near the top, and that's where I am. By the way, the only reason I have a PK Subban jersey, if I'm going to be completely honest, very on brand, but I was at SVP one random day, and they had jerseys on sale for $20, and they had a PK Subban jersey for $20, and I'm like, yo. I understand. I don't like to wear the Habs jersey, or whatever. Although it is kind of an iconic jersey, if you're not gonna be honest about it. But like, I was like, $20 for this, I can't turn this down. I can't turn down a good SVP deal. So that's the actual reason why I have a Habs sweater. But that brings us mostly to time. But before we go, Josh, we got to obviously give a suggestion. I'm not even sure if we can still do Stanley suggestions.
Because I mean, I don't know if he'll be back with the team. I'll be fast. This week, like many weeks this year, there will be major roadways in Toronto closed for for active TO to get outside in a socially distant way. I will be taking advantage of it. It is the most fun thing to do, probably until the world reopens. So I recommend it full heartedly. And if you don't live in the GTA, sorry, but I don't know, go for a bike ride. Like it's been awesome. The winter, you know, I think the last COVID winter was a bit weird because you were it was intense. So when you got outside, it felt okay. The winter for me was really tough. It was just long time inside watching a not so good Raptors team. So I really appreciated being able to get outside. We played, we were both on the same soccer pitch last week. It's great. Yep. Like, it's just nice that things are starting to get normal and you can go outside. So if you're in Toronto, active TO, if you're not, hopefully there's a nice bike path where you live where you can get outside and enjoy the fresh air.
Yeah, the only thing I will say is if you're going to go to Active TO, just plan in advance where you're going to park, because you can't normally park along the lakeshore like you can when it's not open. But yeah, I mean, no, it's awesome, man. People like skating, skateboarding, people riding bikes, walking around, running, playing sports. It's great, honestly. The Toronto waterfront is incredible. I'm going to go with Mahas. That's my – I guess these are Malachi missions. So we're Malachi missions until Stanley resigns or leaves or whatever. But, yeah, Mahas on the East End for brunch, Egyptian food. It's really great. They got a great menu. It's very reasonably priced, and it's a good reason to go out to the East End.
It's terrific.
Where I might have to be in the future. So that does it for the podcast for now. Josh, appreciate you as always. Probably,
of course.
What do you want to do? Get together next Friday again to do more of this?
Sounds good.
All right. So if you got Twitter questions, DM me or Josh at not Joshua Hart. Not Josh Hart. And let us know. But we'll probably put out a call for questions next Friday, and we'll see you then. So thanks everyone for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.